¡Órale! Sí, señor. Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP Podcast. I'm Jorge Georgie Martin. And one primo today, Primo Ricky Torres. ¿Cómo estamos, baby?
What up? Excited to be here.
Oh, it's going to be good. It's well, we're recording this just before Thursday Night Football, though I am going to add in a little recap on the Thursday Night Football game. So, but for now, everybody, gracias for joining us. Como siempre, es un placer. Make sure you're checking out our website at familiaffb.com for some of our great content, as well as our Twitter at familiaffb and our Familia FFB Facebook page. Well, Ricky, you got me to do more than stick my toe into the DFS pond. I got to tell you, thank you for giving me the push, baby.
It's about time. I just wanted to take a little bit more of your money because I only take your money from baseball and football once a year. So it's about time I do it weekly.
Do it on a weekly basis. So so we jumped into the DFS. So you got me into DFS. It's something that I've been wanting to do for a while. It's just every time it comes time to set up a lineup, it's kind of like, oh, okay, I've already set up all these other lineups.
And the water's warm for this one. You're going to be going against 9 other guys who we're all buddies, but there's like different groups, but you'll get to play against us. So we're not all that greatly skilled. So you'll get to hopefully make your head grow big if you do well today. And it's a weird one. It's like there's 6 flexes with 1 captain.
So I did put a lineup together. It's through DraftKings, not hashtag not a sponsor yet, but I am an investor in DraftKings, so I have some stock. So I'm hoping to get some money back here. But it's 6 flexes, and you got 1 captain getting 1.5 fantasy points. So since I'm the novato, the rookie, I will divulge my lineup first on this. So as my captain, I've designated Daniel Jones. Okay. I think he's going
to, I'm surprised to see what the rest of your lineup looks like then.
Yeah. I think he's going to throw for a little bit on the Philly defense. I hope not too much because I did have to play the Philly defense. I think the Philly defense is going to get some sacks on him. And I stacked him with Darius Slayton. And so that's my number 2 player. And then I went Boston Scott and Devonta Freeman. So the two running backs that are expected to play tonight. And last flex, football player flex is DeSean Jackson. Though I may have to switch him out if I find out that he's inactive. So he's at $5,800. And my last one is Graham Gano. So it's a little giant heavy, but maybe it's because in our last episode, Primo Nico convinced me that the Giants were going to cover the 4.5-point spread. Who you got?
Ooh, well, see, this is the one where I didn't think they were, but I definitely have for my team captain Philadelphia's defense. They are cheap. It's like, why not? Ooh. If they can get a pick 6, run it in, I'm gonna do good, and they're definitely gonna get an interception and a couple sacks. So I figured, why not? If they can hold Daniel Jones, I'll be happy.
Yeah,
and that left me with a lot of money. So I got Daniel Jones, I got Carson Wentz, I got Darius Slayton, I got Boston Scott, all the top players in my eyes for the game, top mm-hmm. offensive players. And then I had to get Jake Elliott because I only had $4,500 left. So I was like, I'll get a kicker.
You know, it's funny. I thought of Jake Elliott also, but he got a big donut last week, so that kind of pissed me off on him because I started him on a league.
You play with your brain, not your heart.
This is, you know what, and this game tonight, I mean, we talked about it yesterday, this game has, you know, quiet shootout potential, so it's gonna be kind of funny. I do think it's very interesting doing the captain is the Philly defense.
It's cheap. It was the cheapest option, and I feel like they can get 12 to 16 points and I'll be good. That'll get me an extra 6 to 8 points, so 20 points from that and having it cheap, and I still get the quarterback, so that if anyone has Wentz or Daniel Jones as their captain, I'm still getting, 2-thirds of their points. So they're going to have to do more to beat me.
Wow, that's gonna be fun. That's gonna be fun. All right, so we're gonna see. So so since we're recording this episode for Friday, October 23rd, so we're already gonna go to the result because I'm gonna do a little bit of a Thursday Night Football recap right now.
Well, like often happens when two bad teams play, it wasn't pretty. Was not pretty, but a little bit entertaining. For comedic play purposes, the play of the game was Daniel Jones running from his own 12-yard line, found a hole, and he was gone. You know, there was no defense. He was just flying. I think they got him at 21 miles an hour. So he was just, burners on, no defender within several yards of him until he got pulled down by himself. Yep, I mean, he lost balance, like he was running faster than usual and went down at the Eagles 8. It almost looked like maybe he'd gotten hurt, pulled a hamstring, pulled a calf, or somebody on our familia WhatsApp chat said, sniper! So, and the best reaction shot was of the Giants off the bench where several of his teammates were just cracking up on the sideline. Jones got to have a little bit of a chuckle himself when the Giants scored later on, but I tell you, I could have used that that touchdown in DFS. Carson Wentz had his typical game, running for his life on several plays and making plays on the run when he wasn't getting sacked. He threw two and ran in another TD, finishing with 359 yards passing, so he helped fantasy managers who started him. On the flip side, Jones had another subpar game, and he's just been a colossal disappointment to so many people who were hyping him in the offseason. He threw for 187 yards and two scores and an interception. The long run helped him to 92 yards rushing, which, kind of salvaged his fantasy day. But really, he's not even startable right now. I think the only time you start him is in a 2QB league, and that's if one of the starters is sitting down. So, because he's really just yet to produce even one game that's good. Boston Scott rewarded those who picked him up on waivers this week by gaining 92 total yards and catching the game winner with 40 seconds left. So, I mean, that was a good play. He looked like he had good burst. And so we're going to see if he's got, continues to keep the starting gig while Miles Sanders is rehabbing. Greg Ward got the other TD for the Eagles, finishing with five catches for 42 yards. And what is it with the Eagles and their tight ends? Richard Rodgers subbing in for Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz. He was a great waiver wire tight end pickup in a time that it's just a desert out there for tight ends. He caught six balls for 85 yards. And Travis Fulgham, he continued his solid play, totaling 73 yards on five receptions. Over on the Giants side, Devonta Freeman had just 8 yards rushing on three carries. He got injured during a pass blocking. I think it was in the third quarter. Play that looked pretty ugly the way Daniel Jones went down, but thankfully he got it right back up. Freeman did not return to the game, and it doesn't look like he's going to be startable in the Giants' next game when they play the Bucks, who have just a solid run defense. Gallman was the one who got the touchdown for the rushing touchdown for the Giants, finishing with 34 yards on 10 carries, and he's going to be an early look on the Week 8 waiver wire. Passing TDs for the Giants went to Golden Tate and Sterling Shepard. Welcome back, Sterling Shepard, to the league after being out on injured for a couple weeks. And Darius Slayton, big letdown to everybody who was banking on him having a big game against the secondary of the Eagles. 23 yards receiving. As for me, on my first foray into DFS, it did not treat me very well. Slayton and Freeman and Jackson did nothing. Jackson and Freeman both got hurt in the game, so their stats were, nothing. Jones was the only player who really did much of anything. So only one way to go from here. So I'll get you next time, Primo Ricky.
All right, let's get into some chisme.
Chisme!
So we got some COVID issues happening in Raider country.
This is horrible.
You'll know, say. I mean, so they already moved the game out of the Sunday night slot. Put the Seattle Arizona game in there, which should be a blast to have that on Sunday night.
Though yeah, indeed.
I'm gonna have to watch that opposite the Dodger game. But yeah, I mean, the entire offensive line is in the COVID, is on the COVID list, though only one person has tested positive. So, I think we just got to keep them, you know, we got to keep all our Bucks and our Raiders. I mean, and that's tough because, you know, Josh Jacobs, Ronald Jones are top running backs. You got so many receivers that are good. Darren Waller, Gronk is back from the grave. Yeah, you know, I hate this.
Everyone knew that a team based in Vegas was eventually going to get a player with the disease. So, because hey, whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, and it is staying. But I mean, it's their whole. If they don't test positive, they still get most of the O line. Trent Brown obviously is not going to play. We'll see, because if they're already doing contact tracing, that means they know he's been next to them while he's been contagious. So. Yeah. We'll see. But hey, good news is that we get to see Kyler Murray one more time, prime time.
Yeah, it's going to be Kyler Murray against Russell Wilson. It's just going to be a blast. I mean, that's going to be video game. That's going to be Madden.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope it's like a video game we watch.
I hope it's like that Chiefs Rams Monday Night Football game a couple years ago that was like 55-51 or something like that. It was just ridiculous. All right, well, outside Vegas, going to New Orleans, Michael Thomas, he got a little dinged up. He's got a hamstring issue. So
this is what happens when a player tries to come back a little early, because then they're going to be a little soft on their ankle. And the way they land, so more of the weight is going to be directed higher up, and it's going to affect a different muscle. So it's unfortunate, especially if you traded for Thomas. But other than that, it's like, come on, he's one of your top picks, if not your first round pick overall. So he needs to get back on the field ASAP. He hasn't played at all, really.
No, not since week one, and he left that game. So let's just hope. I mean, everybody keep an eye on the Friday practice report and see what Twitter and Roto World and all the other places and Fantasy Pros, what they tell you as far as the Sunday inactives. Over in New Jersey, everything is legal in Jersey, as they said on Hamilton, but Sam Darnold, limited in practice. So it's looking like he might be playing, even though we don't know how much, it's a good idea for him to play against, you know, with Buffalo in there, but I mean, we're going to see.
They don't need him. We already talked about him the other day about how he's fantasy irrelevant because he's just not going to change anything for anybody. So yeah. This is not news.
No, just not some cheese. It's just cheese, man.
Breaking news. Joe Mixon has been ruled out of the week 7 game against the Browns. So fantasy managers out there, familia, go get yourself Giovanni Bernard. He's been good when he's been subbing in for Joe Mixon in the past. So vamos a ver. He is a threat in the passing game, which has been a little bit of an Achilles heel for the Browns this year. So go get yourself Giovanni Bernard.
Another guy we need to play is AJ Brown. He missed practice Thursday after practice.
This was a surprise.
Yeah. So we just got it. I mean, hopefully nothing happens. Hopefully it was just kind of like a rehab, you know, rest and rehab day for him. But I mean, they need this guy. They are not beating the Steelers without this guy.
Yeah. And I think they can. I don't know. Actually, now that I think about it, they're not going to beat the Steelers at all. They weren't going to have a chance. But now it's like they're going to be coming from behind, and they're not going to have that deep threat to go to, especially depending on how Jonnu Smith comes. Is he playing this weekend? Do you know? I know he had an ankle issue.
Yeah, he practiced today. So it's looking like he's going to play. So
it looks like he's going to get a lot more targets. So definitely have him in your lineups.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. John Brown not looking like he's in very good shape. His knee was really banged up. I mean, he was very limited against the Chiefs on Monday. If I were the Bills, I'd be like, hey, sit down, take a week. You know, we don't need, you know, we can beat the Jets without you. So I just want to see these guys get healthy.
Yeah. And yeah, you're right. They don't need him. So God, it's going to be a fun game, though, to play for the offense.
Oh, absolutely.
So you know he wants to, but just let Diggs run the show.
Yeah, he wants to play. Jarvis Landry.
Another Browns.
Oh my goodness. I mean, apparently suffered a broken rib in week 5 and he's been playing with that. It's just, I mean, you ever broken a rib?
No, but according to Jarvis Landry, quote unquote, it hurts.
Oh, it hurts. So. I broke one. I broke
and there's
one
nothing
once.
You can do.
Yeah. No. It takes about 6 weeks and you just let it heal and it hurts. I mean, you cough, you sneeze or anything like that, it's a knife in your side. I can't even imagine playing football with that. Just cannot even imagine. So, last one, Zach Ertz officially went on IR. So that one, I think we kind of saw it coming when the first report was that he was going to miss 3 to 4 weeks. And so, at the very least, he's on the short-term IR. I mean, it's looking, so now it's looking like Thanksgiving at the earliest that he's coming back. So
that would be nice. It's just, this team, man, they're just decaying slowly before our eyes.
They're just falling apart. It really is sad. I mean, it's kind of like that. That was a team that really looked like it was going to be the best team in the NFC East.
For a while too, because they had won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
With their backup.
But now it's like, I mean, their offensive line is dinged up. They've got Ertz out. They've got Sanders out. They've got like multiple. Yeah, it's just, you feel horrible. And you just hope
they don't have any of their starting skill positions except for Wentz.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? I mean, and that's two tight ends down. So, you know, not even the backup tight end who's also really good. So, I guess that's why we're both pretty heavy on the Giants for the Thursday night football game.
That's why you are, not me.
Well, hey, let's finish off our weekend previews. Take us to Washington, Primo.
All right, we got Dallas 2-4 at the Washington football team, 1-5. And this game is going to be great because both teams are dealing with a lot of changes and they're already one loss through into that. So you have Dallas with Andy Dalton, the Andy Dalton experiment. So far, dude sucks. And it looks like they haven't been able to use Zeke as much. Last week, they didn't use him very much at all, with him only getting like 80 yards total. This week, I'm pretty sure they want to get back to that as long as Zeke can hold the ball. So Washington's defense is good up front. So I think they can hold Zeke a little, but Zeke's going to eat. And I don't know if this is going to be a garbage game in the sense that both teams are just going to be throwing the ball a lot. And you'll see Scary Terry getting a lot of yards, Logan Thomas getting a lot of love, and then Cooper, Lamb, and Gallup getting a lot. Or if it's going to be a garbage game in the sense that Andy Dalton's going to suck and you're going to see Michael Gallup and Dalton Schultz getting under 40 yards again. As Washington, like Kyle Allen, he does have the ability to throw a lot and throw far. So we'll see if he can be accurate enough to get to Scary Terry, because that's really the only guy he needs to throw to. Other than that, Gibson's going to try to do what he does, but he's not that great either right now. They're all still growing. So I don't know what type of game we're going to see here.
I mean, I honestly, you know, I wanted to say that Dallas would win this game. But I mean, I just look at this. If Kyle Allen has any kind of game off, hitting Terry McLaurin primarily, I think this could be, this will have to be a game where Andy Dalton has to play catch up. I mean, and I look at this, I look at Dallas and it's like, they've got more talent, at least on the offensive side of the ball. You know, Terry McLaurin is the only guy who can start in that group of Dallas receivers. But you look at them, that Dallas defense is just so bad. I think they're going to be giving up some points. Both defenses give up plenty of points to the quarterback and the receivers. So, though the Washington defense is pretty good against the wide receivers, they're number 2 in the fewest points, fantasy points per game allowed at 16.9 points. But I think that's going to get tested because Dallas, with Cooper and Lamb are going to be good. Maybe to a lesser extent, you know, Gallup does something, but I think it's really going to be Cooper and Lamb. The underrated guy in this game is going to be Dalton Schultz. The Washington defense is 28th against tight ends as far as fantasy points per game. So,
but Dalton Schultz hasn't done anything lately.
He hasn't. He has not.
Even with Dak.
Yeah. Well, he had,
yeah, one he had game. Like one or he had one game and then nothing. So it's like, I think he's more just a fluke.
I mean, this could be an opening for him. If there's going to be a week where he has an opening, it's this one. So we're going to see. Vamos a ver. Vamos a ver. Well, I'm going to take us to Houston in a game that Green Bay 4-1 against at Houston 1-5. Green Bay's got a 3-point favorite and it's a 56.5 over under. This game has sneaky shootout potential. I mean, it's obviously a big over under. Deshaun Watson, just with them getting, you know, with the, after they fired Bill O'Brien, has just been on fire and fuego the last 2 weeks. Even though the Green Bay, the defense is pretty good against the pass, they're horrible against the run. They're number 32 against running backs. They're fairly decent against the pass, but this is Deshaun Watson. I think what's going to happen is Green Bay is going to come out guns blazing because they
have to.
They had a horrible game last week. I think it hasn't been talked about enough that they were playing. Yeah. And they were playing in horrible weather. I mean, it looked pretty, but then when you looked on the side, you saw the flags flapping all over the place. And when Erin Andrews was on camera, her hair, you know, you could see that her hair was flying. Apparently it was like 35 mile an hour wind. So even that's even going to hurt Aaron Rodgers, but again, Houston defense is nothing compared to the Tampa Bay defense. And so the Green Bay is going to score a bunch of points and Houston's going to have to try and keep up with them.
And they'll be able to somewhat.
On the Houston side, I just don't know I don't think there's anyone you sit. I mean, you got Will Fuller and Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks 2 weeks in a row where he's scored a touchdown and played really well.
Darren Fells looking like a good tight end option. Mm-hmm.
The interesting play is going to be David Johnson because, you know, on the run, as I mentioned earlier, the Packers are number 32, averaging 28 points, fantasy points per game, given up to the running back position. So this could be a sneaky play for David Johnson on the DFS side. Deshaun
Watson to get back into the running game.
Ooh, that would be very interesting. That would be very interesting. So... all right. Well, let's go to Mile High, your dad's favorite team.
Well, I don't know how I feel about this game either because Denver's just horrible. So you have KC 5-1 coming to Denver 2-3. KC's favored to win by 10 points. I think that's very nice of them. They are definitely going to win. I think whoever's playing the Jets is favored by 13. And I think at this point, Denver is going to be just as bad as the Jets. So expect Kansas City to win by at least 2 touchdowns, if not more. However, I do think Denver is going to be able to hold Kansas City to maybe 28 points. So this over-under, definitely go under. Patrick Mahomes, number one player in fantasy right now. However, I do see him getting what he did last week with just 225 yards. Because as soon as they're ahead, they're just going to give it to CEH. And hopefully if we get to see Bell, get to see what he's going to do for the rest of the season. I've heard a lot about this, what is it, thunder and lightning, which is what Clemson used to have back in the day. So we'll see how that goes for them. I don't think there's anyone in the league right now with a thunder lightning approach, right? It used to be like they had it with Sproles and a big back, but
I guess the closest thing is going to be New Orleans with Kamara and Murray, but I don't even think that's
Kamara's lightning and thunder.
Yeah, exactly.
But other than that, I mean, what else can you say about this game? Everyone's gonna be, and Hill's gonna be trying to do better than what he did last week with his 20 yards and 5 yards rushing. I feel like for him, he's always going to be a hit or miss. The most consistent player is going to be Kelsey on that team as far as receiving. And then when you look at Hardman, don't go there. Just I'm done looking to see if it's going to be Hardman, Watkins, or Pringle. It's going to be one of them, and you're never going to be right, no matter which one you pick.
And DeMarcus Robinson is now in that mix. So yeah. I'll go ahead.
And their defense is great. So I just want to finish on KC. Their defense is great. So this is definitely one of the times where you want to stream KC's defense.
I think you're right. I think you're right. Now, the other thing that I just saw, and I kind of had an idea, and then as you were talking, I went to weather.com. I thought I saw some. The forecast for Sunday is snow, 25 degrees and snow. This is crazy. On Saturday, they got 64 degrees and partly cloudy, and it's a 40 degree drop for the next day and snow. So I do remember last year that Patrick Mahomes had a huge day in the snow in Denver. So this could be more of the same.
It's his style.
Or the same. And you know what?
Do you see anyone viable for Denver?
Well, I want to say Philip Lindsay. Because Denver, KC, the only place where they've been a little bit vulnerable has been against the run. They've been very good against the pass, both rushing the passer as well as defending. So Philip Lindsay or Melvin Gordon, if they're, you know, whoever's going to be the starter. So that's the tough part. It's, you know, you just don't know. And I don't want to risk, you know, Tim Patrick or Jerry Jeudy. And Patrick's got two games in a row with 100 plus yards, but against that pass defense, I just don't know if it's if there's going to be much chance for him. Either one. And Noah Fant's a big question mark.
I don't like Noah Fant either right now. I think the defense for Kansas City is too good, and I wouldn't want to bet on any of these players for this game.
All right, so I'm going to take us to New England, Foxborough, Massachusetts, where they park your car at Harvard Yard. So Sunday is sunny and 53 degrees for this game. So not going to be an issue as far as weather is concerned. To me, the issue is going to be who's going to be the running back for San Francisco. Is it going to be Jerick McKinnon? Is it going to be Jamichael Hasty? It's not going to be Raheem Mostert. And you know, I don't think there's, and I haven't seen anything that Tevin Coleman is coming back. So it's going to be one of those guys. If I were to guess, and I'm guessing this one with my heart, I'm hoping it's Jerick McKinnon because I had to pick him up as an emergency on one of my leagues where I have, you look on my reserve roster. It's like the Backstreet Boys. It's bye, 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 bye.
Wow.
it literally, like, all my running backs are on bye this week. So, yeah, Jerick McKinnon, but, this is going to be, I think this is going to be, this is going to be a game that I think is going to be a defensive battle. I don't think it's going to be, I don't think there's going to be a lot of fireworks going on. Both defenses are good. And I just don't see, I don't see Jimmy G in his revenge game.
I mean, going
back to New England.
You don't see him gain. I mean, usually I feel like you're supposed to get some of your highest numbers in your revenge game. And he did look okay last week with 3 touchdowns, 268 yards. But I'll tell you what, that weather is going to change all that for the passer.
It will, and it's just I just don't know. But I think the thing is, New England's defense has still been pretty tough against on both defending the run and the pass. So you just look at that run and you're like, yo no sé. I'm like,
I think San Fran can win it, but I would be happy if they didn't, because then that goes to make me right from earlier in the season.
And you know what? It's a game in New England, and maybe they've finally gotten over all their COVID issues with Cam Newton getting sick, and you know, Stephon Gilmore. They haven't had any new outbreaks, so hopefully that these guys. And the thing is, Belichick is always going to figure something out. So this one's going to be a good game. I think this is going to be a hard fought defensive battle. I just don't see a lot of points being scored. Do you see a lot of points being scored on Sunday down at SoFi Stadium, Rick?
I mean, of course. I love when they play Jacksonville because it's always a close game. And I have a buddy who's a Jacksonville fan. And right now, both of these teams need a win, but only one of them looks really good, and that's the Chargers. Thank God. Gardner Minshew, he's been nothing but average. I mean, ever since Hector's been on the Minshew train, Minshew's been basically not going anywhere. James Robinson's been a surprise, but last week he did throw up a dud, but he did save everybody and got a touchdown, so he at least got 10 points. But expect to see him still get a lot of money this game. DJ Chark, I don't know if I trust him anymore in a 10-man league. Is he droppable? Georgie, I mean, it looks like you asked this question. I mean, I don't think he's droppable. You always have to look at rostered percentage.
Yeah, buddy of mine.
The dude got 14 targets, so he's just got a hit on him. That's it.
That was the thing that, you know, a buddy of mine asked me if he was, you know, he was looking to drop.
You him. Tell your buddy yes if you're in his league.
I told him, I mean, 10 teams is very different because it's so shallow with a single quarterback. And so, and I just thought I would
hold on to him.
Yeah, 2 months ago, I wouldn't have considered it, but I forget who he was looking to pick up. I think it was something like I think it might have been like Deontay Johnson or something like that. And I was just like, ooh, you know, because the player was really good, a really good player who was available. So, yeah, I don't. I still
look for the Chargers to get their first win with Herbert. Look for Justin Jackson to hopefully get over 100 yards because the Jacksonville's defense is 28th against a run, 17th on wide receivers, 19th against the QB. Hopefully Hunter Henry can have a nice little breakout game and get 2 touchdowns because they're also 27th against the tight end. But definitely pick up the Chargers for everything except their defense because their defense has been kind of mediocre so far this season. But yeah, mad points, I hope. Mad points for Herbert. I hope he gets 5 touchdowns.
Though I did see that Melvin Ingram is training to be back in the lineup this week.
If he is, it'll be nice to have him. You never know if he's going to be on a pitch count, but it'll be a nice boost to the defense if you get him. He's a team captain, so it'd be awesome to have him back in the lineup.
Yeah, and that would just – I mean, with him and Bosa, they would just be in Gardner Minshew's grill all day long on Sunday, so that'll be a tough one. That'll be a tough one. I've got so help me out on this one. I've got – you know, I've got a quandary because I've got – in a single quarterback league in my Estadio Fantasy Bowl team, I've got Justin Herbert and Matthew Stafford. And so I've also got Teddy Bridgewater, but my starter is going to be between Herbert and Stafford. I've got Stafford is playing Atlanta at Atlanta. And then obviously I got Herbert here. And
you got to do Stafford.
Yeah, I think it's just.
You're not a Herbert fan, so you can't get away with Herbert doing bad stuff.
I am becoming a fan because it's like he's been fun to watch, but it's hard to all of a sudden go for the veteran. I may still switch at the last minute because Jacksonville's defense is just so bad, but then again, so is Atlanta's.
Atlanta's is horrible too. That's why it's like you gotta go with the player with the higher ceiling.
Yeah, and I think I just did rankings, and I think I put them. I think I put Stafford like one spot ahead of Herbert. So I got them both in the top 10 this week because it's too tantalizing a matchup for this week. Well, let's go to Vegas. Let's
take us to where the COVID roams.
Yeah, let's light a veladora that the game is gonna happen. So this is, you know, Tampa Bay 4-2 at Raiders 3-2 in Vegas, baby Vegas.
This is why Tom Brady went to Tampa Bay because he wanted to visit Vegas.
He wanted to visit Vegas during COVID. Yeah, he wanted to visit Vegas, but now all of a sudden
I don't know if he knew that much.
I don't think now he can't go out. So, but yeah, you got. I mean, this is going to be a game. I'm trusting that we're going to talk like it's going to happen. I think Ronald Jones is just going to keep building on what he's been doing. He is just the last 2 weeks, he's gone over 100 yards. He's looked fantastic. He just ran all over the Packers last week. And I think he's just right now, he's as hot as any running back out there, not named Derrick Henry.
So Leonard Fournette, who?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I did see some that he's trending toward playing, but I think he's very much
a healthy glued stretch.
To the bench. Yeah. Or at the very least glued to the bench, holding his helmet. But I mean, this is a game where Tampa Bay could break out offensively because the Raiders, they're not good against the run. The running backs, they're number 30, giving up 26.6 points a game, and they're not good against the pass. So, I mean, this is a game where Tom Brady could, like, you know, really stretch out, get Chris Godwin going. You know, that last week he only got 48 yards, so maybe get him a little bit going. Let's see if Mike Evans is able to shake it, you know, get himself healthy on this one. And is Gronk, you know, he 78 yards last week. It's mind-boggling because he looked like he was just going to be look so mechanical
the whole game.
Yeah, he looked real, but you know what? He didn't look fluid or anything like that. He didn't look like a Travis Kelce or George Kittle, but he looked like Gronk. He was that lumbering guy. But the Raiders are going to need to throw to keep up, and Tampa Bay, I mean, they're one of the toughest defenses out there. And you got Derek Carr. I have to play him on a 2QB league because I'm sitting down Lamar Jackson, but Josh Jacobs is going to have a tough time running, and what's Waller, it's going to be tough sledding for them.
I think it'll be a closer game as long as Derek Carr can get going. But then again, if they don't have an O-line, they're done. Tampa Bay's eighth against the run, so they're done if they don't have a good O-line.
And they're just we saw it last week. They were in Aaron Rodgers' face all day. And Green Bay has a good line. The Raiders have a good line, but that's their starting line. If they're going to the second stringers, ay Dios mío, I'm scared. I'm scared for them.
Yeah. Streamline Tampa Bay defense if that happens. Everyone's going to be doing that.
Oh yeah. Well, Ricky, finish us off on the new Sunday night football game.
Well, I'm very excited because I have yet to see Kyler in primetime. And it's because I've had to work, so I didn't get to see last week. But it's going to be a fun one. You already talked about it a little bit. But Seattle 5-0 at Arizona 4-2. And we were kind of already knew that Arizona was going to be one of those teams you want stock in. And this over-under is 55 points. I would say go over. I am hoping for like a lot of running. I want to see both these teams just throw the ball up. See those awesome catches by those huge receivers. And, well, let's start with Russell Wilson. He's a possible MVP candidate. Chris Carson, who's just been running. He's been running strong, and that's all you can really ask for him. Hopefully he can stay healthy. Tyler Lockett's been falling the past couple weeks, but DK Metcalf is just the beast on the team. He just looks like he's going to be running that team's offense for the next 5-6 years easily. He's huge. The way Russell Wilson throws the ball, because of DK's size, he just has to stand there, and the ball easily flies into his hands. He doesn't even have to do anything.
And he's been the reason why Tyler Lockett has been, you know, I mean, it's no problem with Tyler Lockett. It's just DK Metcalf has been so good and so open.
Yes, and it's just – he's so huge. Yeah. He can get better position on the ball easily, and Russell's just – they should call him Russell Dimes the way they try to call Danny Dimes, because Russell just drops the ball so easily in there.
Such and
on
a
the
ball.
Arizona side, it's like – tan bonito. It's almost like you have a young Russell Wilson, even though Russell Wilson should be considered young, but I guess he is one of the elite veterans. But Kyler last week, he still got two touchdowns. He was able to throw the deep ball here and there. He just needs to get more accurate. He can't be 9-24 this game. And if he can be more accurate, expect this one to be a super fun one with the over being high. I would love to see like a 35-38 game with Arizona being the winner at the end, because it would be nice to have the AFC or the NFC West be really close. But the real thing is Kenyon Drake going to do what he did last week? Last week, he did okay. That last run is what really inflates this 164 yards, two touchdown number. So I just got Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds on my team in a trade. I'm hoping Drake can do what he is. A lot of people, a lot of analysts are expecting a better second half for Drake. But see, I think that's just being optimistic, because I'm not sure how much the schedule bodes for it. I'm not sure how much this offense relies on the running back. It's starting to look like Baltimore situation, where the quarterback does a lot of the running and the throwing. They really don't need the running back to do more than blocking and little gadget plays here and there. So is that what we're starting to see? I really hope not. Other than that, Christian Kirk kicked butt last week, and Hopkins is automatically a beast every week. So it's going to be fun, because Seattle's defense against the wide receiver is this right, Georgie? Dead last.
Ultimo.
So I am excited to see D-Hop. I'm excited to see Christian Kirk. I would hope Fitzgerald can get in there and just love all over the place. I would love to see this game just get so many points that we're going to be playing this, Georgie, in DraftKings, and it's going to be exciting to see who picks who, because it's going to be whoever picks the one right player in their captain spot is going to win all the money. And who is it going to be? Because all of these players, except for the defenses, are going to be like dynamite. Any of them can go off.
You just can't look. I mean, it's like, do you expect DK Metcalf to go off, or DeAndre Hopkins, or both? And is Christian Kirk going to catch another 80 yarder? And Tyler Lockett, you know, he had that game a few weeks ago where he got three touchdowns. And I mean, just on beautiful balls. The thing is, this is going to be such a crazy game. And because both defenses, Arizona's defense has played a little bit better, has played better than it has last year. They're number six against the wide receiver, but they haven't seen DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett yet. So I think those numbers are going to come down. I think this is just going to be shootout all over the place. Yeah, this is going to be a lot more DraftKings points than on the Thursday night game. I think I would hazard a guess. Very much. Muchos más.
Yeah, the Giants and the Eagles versus, yeah.
Oh, man. Well, everybody, we're going to preview Monday Night Football on our Sunday night recap show. So that's going to be Bears at Rams. So SoFi Stadium is going to be getting a little bit of a workout this weekend on with a Sunday and a Monday Night Football game. So everybody, eso es todo for our show. Thanks. Ciao. Thanks again to Anchor for being our hosting network and for making our independent podcast available to you, our familia community. Please subscribe. Make sure you're leaving us a review at Apple, and subscribe to Spotify, Google, or Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, follow us on Twitter at Familia FFB. You can find me at Jorge Martin 17, as well as our Familia FFB Facebook page and our FamiliaFFB.com page for our original content, and all our podcasts are also archived on there. So gracias otra vez. Rock the vote, everybody.
Go vote.
Vayan a votar. And remember, todos somos familia.
Adios, amigos.
Salud.